Powered by Riverside.
Hello, welcome to Syracuse Speaks. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman, and in case you got lost on the internet today and just stumbled across this podcast is the AHL's Syracuse Crunch. There's a lot to talk about this week, so let's get right into it. This podcast's mission statement is all about maintaining perspective. And when you are emotionally involved in how a team does, how a league is doing, how certain players are doing, the health of certain players, that can be hard. When you're passionate about something, you get mad about it. You get worried about it. However, you'll also go a little crazy if you're not careful with the whole perspective thing. So this episode is really going to be all about maintaining perspective around everything that has happened with the crunch in the past 2 weeks. I think that the truly most major thing to discuss at this point is the news that came out this past week regarding Syracuse captain Gabriel Dumont. Those of us who had been paying attention were expecting something to happen with Dumont, some type of news to come out at some point in time. And maybe it's entirely possible that that news had been discussed on a broadcast and I missed it. It's been really challenging lately for me to keep up with the team when they're on the road. So regardless of what might have been out there already, you know, I had been reading the tea leaves and growing very concerned that something was wrong. And this past week, it was announced that Dumont underwent successful, that's good, surgery to repair a torn ACL. He will be out for the remainder of the season. He will most certainly be out for the playoffs, regardless of how deep Syracuse goes. And my hope, and I'm sure potentially his hope, is that he will be ready to go for the beginning of next season. This is hard. You know, Dumont is the captain of the team. And in the American Hockey League, team captains tend to pull a lot onto their shoulders. They're the ones that the rookies go to, these 20, 21-year-olds who are playing professional sports for the first time, when they have problems, any problems, problems with the coaching staff, problems I would imagine with trying to figure out their rent, trying to figure out a budget, trying to figure out how to, if they have a family, how to handle all of that. There is a lot for hockey players to learn when they become professionals. And the leadership group of every team in the American Hockey League, including the captain, help out a lot with that. Dumont has been with the Syracuse Crunch for basically, I think, you know, we can say half of his American Hockey League career at this point in time. You know, the only other city that he has spent a comparable amount of time with is Hamilton. They're not even in the league anymore. He played with the Hamilton Bulldogs for the better part of 5 seasons when he first started his professional career. He has now been with Syracuse for the better part of 6 seasons. So he's lived in this city. His family has lived in this city. His kids go to school here. They play hockey here. He has adopted Syracuse as his quote-unquote home just as much as players like Daniel Walcott, who is usually the person you think of when you think of AHL players adopting cities and those cities adopting them. You really get the impression that Dumont loves the organization, loves playing for the organization. And even though the coaching staff changed over the summer, I think Coach Ben Grew was a big part of Dumont deciding to re-sign with the team a couple seasons ago and then sign on for a 2-year AHL contract. you know, in the off season of 2022. The coaching change could have potentially upset the apple cart a little bit, but it clearly didn't. Dumont has continued to show his worth on the ice, and from what all reports have indicated, he has continued to show his worth to the team off the ice as well. There was just so much talk, especially during the 2021-22 season, as the team tried to figure out a way forward after the pandemic had sort of delayed and shut down everything. There was so much talk in the background about what Dumont was doing for this team off the ice, just as much as on the ice. And from what, like, Lucas Favale tweeted earlier this week, from what I've heard about from others, he continues to do those things, things that fans aren't privy to. His value to the team is so much more than what we see on the ice, which just goes to show how high it really is. So to lose him at this point in time with such a promising, enthusiastic group of players looking towards the playoffs, it's hard. You know, I'm not going to lie. But I had been expecting something to occur at some point in time because of a couple of signs I had seen. When the Lightning traded defenseman Jack Thompson, who was an alternate captain on the team, they needed to name another alternate captain. They named two. They named Cole Koepke and Gabriel Fortier. Both of those players very deserving of A's. They will join Daniel Walcott as the three alternate captains on the team. However, for those of you who have been watching the league for a while, you are aware that AHL teams have two alternates and a captain. So the fact that they named two alternate captains started the first alarm bells in my head that perhaps Dumont's injury was going to be a long-term issue. And then, right before the AHL trade deadline, which is a deadline that the Lightning has historically not been that accurate at, they acquired Jordy Bellerier. Yeah, sorry. You know me. Not much has changed, friends. From San Jose. And it, for all intents and purposes, he seems like a high-impact, energetic, talented, gritty center. Those phrases could be lifted word for word from Dumont's resume. That was the second sign when my stomach just turned over, because I was like, we needed a player as fans of the team who was going to replace somebody like Dumont and replace Dumont, which you cannot do, but obviously something needed to be done to fill that roster hole. So, you know, the third sign that I had that something was wrong was that after the crunch named two alternate captains instead of one, my best friend texted me and was like, does this mean that Dumont's done? And I was like, well, I didn't want to say it out loud, but now that you've said it, yeah, I think that it does. So other fans were starting to pick up on the vibes that I was picking up on too. So we're here. The crunch has to push forward. They have to find a way forward. What are they going to do? Well, the great news is that, I mean, all is not lost. I think that it would be completely foolhardy to count this group out at any point just based on what they've proven they can do with a roster that, let's be honest, did not look that strong on paper coming into this season, has changed quite a bit since then, and in many ways not on the side of changing to be stronger, and had a lot of high expectations as well, because Crunch fans were really hungry for a team that was going to be both good during the regular season and not bomb out super early in the playoffs, which is basically what has happened every season since 2017. Syracuse has had a lot of promise since that Calder Cup finalist team in 2017. But those promises have gone largely unfulfilled once it comes to the playoffs. So looking forward, Syracuse still has a lot of players on their roster that are going to be able to step up. I mean, let's be honest. This team has Alex Bariboulet on its fourth line. I don't think there's any team in the league that could be like, yeah, we have a player of Alex Bariboulet's caliber on our fourth line. Despite the fact that Bariboulet is playing on the team's fourth line, he's played in 11 games. He has 9 points, 3 goals, 6 assists. He's doing what Bariboulet does, and he is probably one of the biggest reasons why the loss of Dumont is less. Some other big reasons why the loss of Dumont is less is players like Gage Gonsalves, 48 points in 58 games, 10 goals, 8 assists. Cole Koepke, newly named alternate captain, 35 points in 46 games, 16 goals, 19 assists. Oh, sorry, Jack Thompson is next on the list that I'm reading to, and it still hurts a little bit, but that's okay. We're pushing forward. Felix Robert, who proved during last night's game in the War Memorial that he can score goals not only with his stick, but also with his face. 31 points in 12 goals, 19 assists. I hope his face is okay. I'm sure if he needs a good dentist, Dumont can recommend one because. Maxime Groshev, 28 points, 14 goals, 14 assists. This team is still doing really well with the secondary scoring and making sure that players are stepping up at the right time. There have also been a little bit of some reinforcements have come in. Quinn Shimamin? Oh my God. I swear I missed a phonics lesson at some point in time when I was young. I don't know how I learned to read as well as I did, friends, but I missed a lesson at some point in time. He's come into the team and, you know, on the blue line, the Lightning, that was another player that the Lightning grabbed for Syracuse to make up for the fact that they're recalling defensemen like they're free lately. You know, he's come into the crunch and I think he's going to fit in really well on the blue line. Brandon Halverson got the win Friday night when Wilkes-Barre came into town. And so even on the goalie end of things, it seems like there's a pretty good, pretty strong threesome there between Halverson, Hugo Elnefelt, and Matt Tompkins. I'm not sure what's going on with the goalies. They've been kind of trading injuries and illnesses back and forth. Hopefully that gets cleared up in the next couple of weeks as Syracuse looks towards the playoffs. But there's a lot to be excited about here with this team. You know, speaking even of Gonsalves, he's currently fifth in the league with assists. So his 38 assists, fifth in the league. And there's not a huge spread between first place TJ Tynan, who's got 47 assists, down to fifth place Gage Gonsalves with the 38. There's still a lot of talent in this locker room. Not only is there still a lot of talent, but there's a lot of drive. These players like each other. They want to play for each other. And with Dumont out, I can only see that growing. I don't think that that is going to go down in any way, shape, or form. So it's not something that I'm super concerned about on that end of things. As far as the playoffs go, as of right now, Syracuse and Cleveland continue to flip-flop. Syracuse is currently, by means of a tiebreaker, back in first place in the North Division. They have 35 wins, 19 losses, 4 overtime losses, and 2 shootout losses. That is good for 76 points. Cleveland has 35 wins, 20 losses, 3 overtime losses, and 3 shootout losses. That is good for 76 points. Moving down to the rest of the North Division, Rochester is in third with 69 points. Rochester has been surging a little bit lately, so that's a team to keep an eye on as those top teams in the division vie for these playoff places. Toronto is in fourth with 67 points. Belleville is in fifth with 66. Laval is in sixth with 64. And Utica is in seventh with 61. As a reminder, the way that the AHL playoff seeding works is that the fourth and fifth teams in the divisions, at least in the North Division, will have to play a play-in round to figure out which one is then going to go on to play the first place team, which currently is Syracuse. So if the playoffs, quote unquote, started today, as we always love to say in this business, Syracuse wouldn't know their opponent because it's either going to be Toronto or it's either going to be Belleville, which, speaking of Belleville, in case you missed it, Syracuse finally beat them. For the first time this season, last week, Syracuse did end up beating Belleville, which was a monkey that I really, 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 really wanted the team to get off their backs before the playoffs started, just in case that ended up being Syracuse's first round opponent. So, fantastic news. The Crunch did it. Great. Moving on. They'll either be playing one of those teams, and then Cleveland and Rochester would be duking it out in their first round. If the Crunch falls to second place and ends the season there, they will play whomever is in third place. As of right now, that's Rochester. But those points, especially from third place down, are relatively close together. So that positioning, those teams are probably going to be jockeying for positions pretty much right up until the end of the season, just as, to be honest, I see Syracuse and Cleveland doing right up until the end of the season. It's very interesting to me that this is what seems to happen in the North nearly every single playoffs, where nothing is decided until like the last week of the season. It's actually kind of stressful. So if the teams could quit doing that, that would really be super. The Crunch has a little bit of time to go, though, until we actually reach the end of the season. They're in this weird schedule, like, vortex right now of only playing Atlantic Division teams, which is a little strange. Normally, Syracuse is planted firmly in the North, but when they do cross over into the Atlantic, it does seem like they play them all in a cluster just because of the travel and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they're playing the Atlantic Division right now, which is obviously, like, it's fine, but it is a little frustrating that Syracuse doesn't have the opportunity to gain some valuable points and some distance between them and those other North Division clubs just because they're stuck in the Atlantic. But whatever, it's fine. So you probably noticed also that I'm recording this podcast a day early. I have some stuff to do tomorrow, and honestly, I just really wanted to get my feels about the whole Dumont situation off my chest. So I decided to record today so I could stop thinking about it and stop rehearsing what I was going to say and try to figure out how I was going to get through it without getting emotional, which I'm very proud of myself that I succeeded. But anyways, so yes, I am recording this a day early. So the scores and playoff positioning, obviously, you know, if you're listening to this on any other time other than in the afternoon on March 23rd, 2024, things are going to be probably looking a little bit different. Regardless, Syracuse goes into Springfield tonight. It's a 7:05 game. Springfield, interestingly enough, I just saw on Twitter earlier today, has a 10-game sellout streak going on. Now, I've been to Springfield. There's not a whole lot to do in Springfield. It's great that the fans are coming out and supporting that team. It would be equally great if the Crunch could shut them all up and perform really well tonight so that they could continue to get those points. Syracuse then goes into Providence tomorrow on Sunday, March 24th for a tilt against them. Syracuse then dips briefly back into the North Division with a home game against Rochester on Wednesday, March 27th, before going back to the Atlantic and playing next weekend against Lehigh Valley and Providence. That game on March 30th against Providence, I must, of course, point out, is the famed Syracuse Canal Mules Night. The team will be celebrating the historic contributions of the Erie Canal and the workers and animals who worked the Erie Canal and helped to make this corridor of central New York one of the most historical spots in the country by donning New jerseys with a specialized look and also having merchandise available with that look so that fans can always remember the night that the Syracuse Crunch became the Syracuse Canal Mules. The Crunch will then take a little bit of a holiday break for Easter before returning to action in Laval on Friday, April 5th, and then in Belleville on Friday, April 6th. As previously discussed, Saturday, April 6th, sorry, my days of the week are jumbling up in my head. As previously discussed, that game against Belleville in particular could have playoff implications and some interesting playoff points moving forward. So it'll be fun to see where that goes. That should pretty much catch us up until I end up recording again with you all. I was just checking out my calendar and some travel things that I have coming up. So I might just decide to record on April 6th. And then I'll have to see how my schedule works out as the playoffs get closer. But, you know, regardless, that pretty much will catch us up to where I think I'm going to be able to sit down with you all again. Interestingly enough, after Syracuse plays Belleville on that April 6th date, they then go on to play Toronto twice and then Belleville again. So that little interesting cluster of four games against the same two opponents really could set the tone for the playoffs, depending on how it all shakes out, because then the remainder of Syracuse's season, since I'm talking about it anyways, is against Utica, whose playoff hopes are all but dashed at this point in time. I'm not going to count them out. You really can never count out Utica, especially since it does seem like New Jersey did some work at the deadlines, both the NHL and the AHL, to help them a little bit. But you know, they are far down there in the standings. It's not exactly looking like, you know, they're going to make it. But they have 61 points, and Belleville in that last play-in playoff spot has 66. So that's not really an insurmountable amount of points for them. So it will be interesting to see when the dust settles on that last game of the season less than a month away at this point in time on April 20th, where everybody will fall and how everybody will land. It's going to be interesting. Now, I still don't think anybody is going to beat Hershey. In case you all missed it, Hershey was the first team in the Eastern Conference to clinch a playoff spot, and they did it like weeks ago. Currently, they have a record of 45 wins, 11 losses, no overtime losses, and 5 shootout losses for 95 points. They are the best team in the league by far. The only team that is even close to them is the Coachella Valley Firebirds with 83 points. So, I mean, they're really not even that close. I don't think any other team in the Eastern Conference is going to make it out of the Eastern Conference past Hershey. However, I could be proven wrong. I've been proven wrong before. I have no illusions about being right about everything or even the majority of all of the everything. So it very well could happen. It will certainly be interesting to see how the world turns and where that will end up and if we'll see Hershey vying for the Calder Cup for the second year in a row this upcoming, you know, June. So it'll definitely be interesting to see where this all lands. Now that the NHL deadline is passed and the AHL deadline is passed, rosters are pretty much set. However, exceptions are made for those players from like juniors or the college ranks whose seasons end, which means that they can be signed to amateur tryout contracts and those types of things so that they can get some tastes of the American Hockey League. But generally, those players don't exactly offer any miracles or any huge roster boosts. They usually don't get a ton of time unless there's some kind of weird emergency situation or they choose to just to be a prodigy coming in from wherever they came from. At this point in time, I believe all of the prospects in the Lightning system that might potentially join Syracuse are still playing, and actually they're playing very well. So I don't expect that really to be happening anytime soon, but just know that it might end up in the next couple of weeks. We might see a couple of more ATOs being signed and players or PTOs or whatever from those leagues, players from the organization joining Syracuse and hoping to pitch in during that playoff run. So it'll be interesting to see where those go too. I'm going to go ahead and end this episode right here. Thank you all so much for joining me today. I would really love it if you would send me any feedback or your opinions over on social media. My handle on the Twits is at Allovimo, Allovimo. As someone who is still running solo on this endeavor, I really appreciate every single one of my listeners. Thank you so much. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.